Open your Bible with me. We're going to be looking together in Acts chapter 17, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 17. So, bear with me a little bit, because it is not helpful for us to talk in a Christian way, but not actually understand what we're talking about. It's not helpful for us to have the knowledge of things that we're supposed to do, but no action to do it. It's not helpful for us to know things conceptually, but not embrace them from the heart that we would actually do what God's called us to do. One of the things that I want to do as we're, over the next couple weeks, we're going to be looking at what are we supposed to do, and how are we going to do it, and how is God using us, and what are we trying to accomplish? As we're doing those things, I would like it to be a little bit workshoppy. And what I mean by that is, I'm going to preach to you, but it's not just a sermon where I'm throwing things at you, because if you don't grasp what we're doing, we're not going to do it. And so we need to work together to come to understanding that we're walking together in what God has called us to. And so I'm going to ask you questions, which I know I do teacher style a lot, but I'm going to ask you questions and then I'm going to wait, because they're not just rhetorical. Is I want us to engage together. So I'm giving you my pledge now. If you say something and it's 100% wrong, nobody's going to laugh at you. If somebody laughs at you, I will stop them from laughing at you. Okay? If I laugh at you, I'll apologize immensely. I'm just kidding. I'm not going to laugh at you. Nobody's going to laugh at you because we're learning together. We want to come to God together, don't we? But here's the deal. 10 years from now, 20 years from now, we cannot be in the same place that we're in now. We cannot. In Troy, in Chesterfield, the church in America cannot be in the same place we're in now. We have to, for our allegiance to Jesus and our obedience to him, do what he has commanded us to do. If we're unclear about that, how can we accomplish what he's called us to? Does that make sense? So I'm giving you this urgency, because if we don't walk with urgency, we can pray and try to do stuff. I used to have, I'm not the fittest guy ever, but once upon a time I was more fit. And I used to have a boss who would tell me, and when I was in the military, we had to run a lot. And his saying all the time he would say is, the only way to get good at running is to run. Actually, I found recently a social media person, like an Olympic runner, who was talking about the right way to run, and I realized I don't know how to run. But I ran a lot, you know. And so the funny part about this is, let's learn the right way to run, the right way to walk together according to the Word of God, and then let's walk together. The only way to get better at hospitality is to be hospitable. The only way to get better at evangelism is do evangelism. The only way to know your Bible more is read your Bible. And then when you read your Bible, you're going to get stumped. What do? You come to an elder and say, I'm confused about this. Can we meet? That's what's supposed to happen. We meet together and talk about him. The only way that you come against sin is to repent and to follow him and to fight against it and to look to him, because he gives us strength to resist temptation. But I'm saying these simple truths to you because the only way to get better at running is to run. And so it helps a lot if we are running the right way, in good form and those kind of things. But you know, Jesus did a lot with people who were run like me. If you saw me ride a bike, I'm not a bike rider. I literally bought the bikes we rode the night before at 8 o'clock on Buy Sell Trade. That was a mistake, but I did it. But here's the thing, we can't be like that because the Lord has equipped us. Why are we living out our salvation as if we got to grab it off Buy Sell Trade the night before God uses us? But a lot of us live there, because then we don't know the scripture, and then somebody asks a question and we're suddenly confronted with, I have no idea, instead of being ready with the hope that we have. I'm not saying that to condemn us. I'm not saying that to make you feel bad. I'm saying that to say there's urgency. There's urgency in the call now. There's urgency that God has called you to do something great for the kingdom. And we cannot stay where we are now so that 10 years from now, we have nothing to offer. We need to start doing all the things he's called us to. And if you're already doing it, let's up the pace. Let's come to him. Let's see him. Amen to that? And we've got a great opportunity because there's a new facility in Troy. Praise the Lord. So if things are happening, let's stay with it and see what God does. So where are we? We have a new facility, praise the Lord. We are blessed to have a new roof on this. We're about almost a year into this roof. We're actually noticed probably a couple stains here of some water, so they're coming out this week to relook at some things. 1 year check, make sure things are good. I'm saying that though because my point is, look at the stability that God has given us. There's great stability in the body that we have. The Lord has given us a great congregation in Troy, super excited to do stuff. Great congregation here. We're excited to do stuff. We're doing one-on-one meetings that the ladies have spearheaded for us. How fantastic. We had a men's retreat last year. We did a bike ride. That's awesome. Things are happening. There's a lot of stuff on the calendar. But I want you to hear me say this, that events and stuff on the calendar does not equal the kingdom moving forward. Because the church of God is not just a community center. It's not. Now, having said that, what a great place to have friends, make relationships, demonstrate what the kingdom looks like, and be unified, not in our love for a sports team or for an activity, but instead our love for Jesus unifies us. And God has brought us to a place where we are seeing him move amongst us, and good things are happening, and that's a blessing. What that means for you is, if you feel like you don't have a lot of relationships in the body, there is no better time than now to invite somebody over. Or to say, hey, let's go to anywhere but Chick-fil-A because it's closed on Sunday after church and eat lunch. And spend time together to be able to grow in relationship so that we can move forward together. There's no better time because God's given us a lot of stability, and that's really good. Having said that, where are we also is we're at a place where God has given us great blessing to be able to move forward. My kids go to a private school. It's a wonderful school. They love Jesus. They love discipling the kids, and I'm very blessed to send them there. It is an honor to be able to have the kids go there. One of the things about private school is that some of the families can afford it better than other families. Okay, everybody know where I'm going with that? So my kids sometimes will get invited to houses or activities or events of people who have stuff different than we have stuff. So, for instance, my daughter, a couple years ago, her little friend, her parents were both retired executives for a major company that you would recognize immediately and live off roads with gates and have a giant, beautiful pool in their house that has like 10 bedrooms. Okay? It's really nice. I drove, at the time, my 1993 Ford pickup and got stopped by a neighbor who thought I was a worker driving on the main road and told me to go use the service road. Where I'm dropping off my daughter to have a play date, pool party with her classmates in sixth grade or whatever. Right? Now, here's why I'm saying that. We got back in the car, and what does my sixth grade daughter say? Can we build a pool the size of this auditorium? And I said, no, honey, we're not going to build a pool. Isn't it wonderful that your friend has a pool? Praise the Lord. How God has blessed them, that's so wonderful. What do you think the Lord wants from us? Does you think it's more important for us to build a pool, or is it more important for us to be faithful with what he's given us? Because I can tell you, we went to, Lisa and I, 9 homes. We put offers on 6 houses trying to move closer to this area. From Wentzville. Wentzville's fantastic. I love Wentzville. Great place. But we're trying to be closer. And so we looked and searched and tried to find something. And Lisa found the house that we're in now. And she said, Stephen, she said, we got to go look at it. And it's kind of near close to Olive Road. And we were like, oh, it's kind of close to the road. We got little kids. I don't know. We went to look at it. We weren't sure. We had offered everything that we possibly could. And the real estate agent was so lovely and helped us. She even threw in her commission on one of our offers, and we didn't make it by $60,000. Like, we tried everything. Houses at the time, when did we move? 19? Right before COVID? 18? 7? When? Whenever we moved, houses were going like they do now, and everybody's bidding against each other. And we were one of 20 bids, and we weren't even close. And so we came to this house and looked at it. We're like, let's try. It's got a few things. I don't know. They wanted whatever. We'll give them $5,000 less. Probably nothing will happen. So they accept the offer. First night, And we're like, wow. The next day we get a call. Hey, we had a computer glitch. There were 40 other people that wanted to see the house. You were the only ones who went and saw it. So you're the only offer we got. We accepted it kind of fast. Do you think maybe you could not do the offer anymore? And I said, well, you guys accepted it, and I think the Lord gave us the house. And they were like, okay. And that was it, and we got the house because of a computer glitch. That's the Lord. So I'm telling my daughter this story to say, the Lord gave us this house. And it might not have a pool the size of this auditorium, but the Lord gave it to us. So let's be faithful with what he's given us because we love him and he gave us good things. Amen to that? So what do we need to do now? Well, we have a building there. We have a building here. It's a beautiful, this is a great building. It's also, man, that one's stone across the highway. It'd be nice if I was some stone. This is brick. It'd be better if it was stone. Maybe if we had stone, more people would come. You know, that'd be cool. Maybe we should, I don't know. Maybe we should redo something up here. Maybe if the drums floated from the sky, then that would do it. But I'm saying this because that's the temptation, is to see what other people have and other things. Our goal, our call, is to be faithful with what the Lord has given us. What has he given us? His Holy Spirit, himself, salvation, the gospel. Ready? Each other. A great congregation in Troy. Worldwide relationships with other congregations that are serving him and knowing him. He's given us the word that we would be deep in the word and we would know him. He's given us energy and strength and abilities and giftings to see him glorified in St. Louis and beyond. But he's put us in St. Louis. I like Colorado Springs. We did our honeymoon in Maui. It was so awesome. We could plant a church in Maui. That would be cool. Florida Keys. I don't know. Right? But here's my point. Instead of, oh, I wish it was, if the Lord wants us to plant a church in Colorado Springs, we're going to plant a church in Colorado Springs because he'll tell us to. But I'm going to tell you right now, he hasn't told me to. If he's told you to, we need to talk. But he has told us, this is where I've put you. Amen. And this is who I've put you with. Yes. And I'm going to do, right, this is the Lord. I'm going to do something great through you like you've never seen. If you have faith and embrace it and walk with him and go where he's telling us to go. Where is he telling us to go? Where are we? We're poised in a great place to disciple this city. What does that mean? It means we're probably not going to have I'll put drums floating. I don't care. That's fun. I like music. I like fun stuff. But we're probably not going to have the drums floating. Why not? Because we're more concerned with the ladies coming together, one-on-one relationships, digging into the Word of God, the men getting together and doing hard things and coming together to hear from him. We're more concerned with repentance, righteousness, knowing the Word of God. We're more concerned with walking together through good and bad to see Jesus glorified than we are with drums. Amen. I'm just telling you. That's the mindset. Why? Because at the end of the day, the grass withers, the flowers fade. The Word of the Lord remains forever. So if our kids don't know the Word, if our disciples don't know the Word, if our neighbors, if our coworkers, if our family and friends don't know him and the Word of God, then we're failing. Also, we have a beautiful brand thing here, but notice we don't really do a whole lot with it. I mean, it unifies us a little bit because it looks nice and everything, and we have some new projector things coming that'll make it look nice. That stuff is helpful, right? But we're more about Jesus than we are about New Covenant. Why? Because the grass withers, the flowers fade, the Word of the Lord remains forever. And he is the Word. He's on the throne. Everything is for him. And it doesn't matter the church name so much as that we are all for him.